You ever think what comes after us? What are we really leaving behind? When I look back at my life, I wonder, will my kids remember what matters most or just everything else? But what does matter most? It's not money, not the house, the car, the stuff. It's so much more than that. Scripture says, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. The faith that holds us, the family that shapes us, and the freedom that calls us to live for more. That's what I want them to remember.
That's what we want them to remember. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it, Pastor. The faith that holds us, the family that shapes us, and the freedom that causes us and calls us to reach for more. We're wrapping up our sermon series on freedom, on faith, family, and freedom this weekend. I want us to stand. We're going to take a moment and pray together as we do this and get started. And we're going to always remember Israel. I had someone come up to me and thank me for continuing to stand with and for Israel. You know, the winds of culture are always going to blow different directions. I mean, what's popular today may not be tomorrow and vice versa. What's up may be down and what's down may be up next. But here's the thing, God's word stands forever. And we who are believers and followers of Jesus, we stand on God's word no matter what the prevailing winds of culture seem to say. Amen? No matter what your news feed and Facebook says, we stand with the word of God and we stand with who he stands for, irregardless of whether it's popular or not. Can I get an amen? We're not here to be popular. We're here to change the world. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Father, what a privilege it is to stand with Israel and to literally pray Psalm 122, verse 6, over them, that we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we ask that you would release your shalom over that nation. Father, our prayer for them is that they would come to know Jesus as Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ as Messiah. Jesus Christ as Lord, Jesus Christ as King, Father, that Israel will be saved, Father, by your grace, by your power, Lord, that you would show yourself strong to them. And Father, we pray also for our own nation. We pray for our President Trump. Father, we pray for what's happening in our government with this shutdown. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would insert yourself into this situation, Lord. Father, the nefarious forces that would want to close our government down. Father, is this beginning to hurt Americans all over our country, Lord? People beginning to face shortages and not getting paid. And Father, we just stand against that in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father, for an end to this, whatever they're calling it, filibuster, shutdown, people walking out and quitting on their jobs. I pray that our people would vote these people, I'm going to be nice, will vote these people out of office, so fire them, so that we can get people in there who want to work and do the job and represent the American people. So we pray for that in the name of Jesus. Bring your spirit. We pray for spiritual awakening and ultimately revival across our land. Thank you for what you're doing across college campuses, even this last week with over 5,000 people showing up at a college campus, hearing the gospel, hundreds saved and baptized in the back of pickup trucks. So thank you, Father, for your move across our nation. And Lord, we pray in accordance with your word, where Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. High five somebody on the way down. Listen, pardon my human moment there, but I get frustrated sometimes. I don't know about you. You know, sometimes I have to take my public pastor hat off. You know, pastors are so polished and slick and all that. You know, we're just born with niceness, right? It oozes out of the pores of our skin. But when it comes to standing and contending for righteousness, truth, and justice across our land, that's when the gloves come off. That's when we've got to stand and fight the forces that would seek to drive our nation into ground and to literally try to derail our constitutional republic. We are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. And we have to stand and fight for that and fight for the freedom that we have. And so it's time for the gloves need to come off and no more Mr. and Mrs. Nice Guy. And we've got to take a stand for what's right and fire some people and get our government back to work, amen, and get our people taken care of and prayed for. I want to continue our series on faith, family, and freedom. We're going to land the plane with this, kind of put a bow on the package. But I just want to remind you that last week we had such an amazing time with Dr. Rick Scarborough. Did you enjoy that last week? Amen. A lot of fruit came out of that. You know, what I love about Dr. Scarborough, he truly is an evangelist. If you're to get on the fourth floor in an elevator, you'll be born again by the time you're on the first floor. He's that guy. He's got his elevator pitched down. Everywhere we went with dinner with he and his wife, Tommy, they're so gracious. But everywhere we went, he would talk to the waitress or the waiter and invite them to church. I'm like, he just does that so naturally and so normally. And it should be the normal Christian life. Amen. We should never be ashamed of who we are. And we should always be constantly extending an invitation to people. Hey, come and see. Just come and see. Come for yourself. And he's so gracious. What I love about him, he's a true hero of the faith. You know, we live in a day where those who are getting older get sidelined and made and deemed irrelevant to culture. But I want to bring men like Dr. Rick Scarborough, set him in our pulpit and say, teach us. Teach us from your experience. Teach us from what you've learned. You've lived longer than me, a lot longer than me, and I can learn from that. He said in one of our chairs in the office, I told Annette, I said, I'm taking that chair for mine. I'm never going to wash it. I'm just going to sit in it every week and ask for the anointing that's on that man to come upon me. You know, we have to be about going after and pursuing the heroes of faith. And I wrote him, I sent him a picture. I took a picture from down there of him, and he was really throwing something down that we were picking up. You know what I mean? I mean, he had finger pointed. He had the look, I mean, like evangelist. And I took this cool picture of him. I sent it to him. I said, the man, the myth, the legend. Because he is, and I just thank him for being here. I did that with Dr. Jack Taylor, who was in our church years ago and a couple of times, and he sat in my Tahoe. When he got in my car, I told Annette, I said, I'm never selling this car. I'm never washing this seat. I said, we're going to drive this till the wheels fall off of it. And that sounds silly, and it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but there's some truth to that. There are great men and women of God who've gone before us, and while culture may deem them relevant, even some Christian culture deems them irrelevant. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I should have got an amen on that one, or at least a uh-huh, you know, something. It's a good time. Yeah, it's a good place to say amen. But here's the thing is that culture deems our folks, our saints that are getting older as irrelevant, and that's not the case. If you're here and you're over 70 years of age, first of all, congratulations. You're here. You woke up with a pulse this morning. You hit the lottery. Amen. But we want to say thank you for your service, but you're not done. Because where there's a pulse, there's still a promise. Where there's a promise, there's still a purpose. Amen. So don't retire from the kingdom. Amen. Feel free to retire from your job. Just don't retire from the kingdom. Amen. And what God has for you, because you have a God assignment still on your life. Amen. So there's tread wear yet left on your tires. So don't quit too soon. Don't quit before you get over the finish line. So today we're talking, the title of today is The Values That Refine Us and Define Us. I love that bumper that Faith made a while back, and we've been using it for this series, and it just speaks to my heart when he gets into that, the faith that holds us, the family that shapes us, and the freedom that calls us to live for more. But I'm going to add a fourth today as we land today, and it is this: the fire that sends us. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn bright in our lives. Amen. I love what Rick Scarborough said last week when he was, I can't remember if it was both services, I know for sure in the second, but he said, stop cursing the darkness and begin to shine the light bright. Amen. The light of the gospel. Look for the good that's happening. It's so easy to go down the rabbit hole. Amen. And sometimes we send each other down the rabbit hole, and we tend to bring people with us because we're so upset or we're so frustrated or we've been spending way too much time on social media news feeds. Can I get an amen? And this would be a good time to repent, right? Just right now, say, Lord, oh Lord, stop me. So I'm gonna talk about a new diet for you. I know it gets real quiet when I say something like that. I'm not talking about your refrigerator. I'm talking about your news feed. So much of what we are reading and getting sent down the rabbit hole on is propaganda. There's a lot of influencers right now, and people I love and respect, but unfortunately, when they're making their living on social media, on likes, clicks, follows, and comments, because they're getting money from their sponsors to do that podcast, what happens is they start to go, they go big. It's almost like every week they've got to escalate what they did last week. Alert, alert. Breaking news, breaking news. I mean, it gets absurd after a while. And what it's causing people to do is go down rabbit holes that God's like, you've got the peace of God on your life. What are you doing? And we need to start talking people off the ledge and each other off the ledge. Amen. And de-escalating our mentalities, because we're supposed to bring peace, because we have the Prince of Peace living in our lives. Amen. That Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, said, leave your peace wherever you go. You bring it and then you leave it wherever you go. Walmart should look different when you leave. I know I'd get an amen out of that one. Yeah, wherever we go, we should leave our peace. Why? Because we are carriers of peace. And like a virus, we should infect everything we touch. Amen? For God's glory and his gospel. So listen to this. As we get started, I'm just going to go down the list on these points, because these are the points that we've made, but I want to wrap this up today. Listen to this. The faith that holds us. And I added some descriptors here. The faith that holds us is also the faith that defines us. It lets the world know who we are. We should be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, what we carry actually leads people to a place of being born again, being saved. Something Dr. Rick Scarborough, you know, was talking about him being an evangelist, this blew my mind. I actually saw it happen. I've been with him twice where I saw this happen. They do these meetings called the Remnant Alliance. What they do, they gather pastors from a given community. We hosted one here 2 years ago. I was over at Atlanta with the one they did. And we gather as many pastors together as we can. And then Rick Green, different ones, Rick Scarborough, help me out, somebody. Line. Who else was with that? Huh? Paul Blair. I mean, there's a whole group of guys that come along, and they teach pastors about our nation's foundations on Christianity and Bible, and how the Declaration of Independence drew 33% of its content from Scripture, and how it all started. And this was a Christian nation, not just a religious nation, but a Christian nation. From our founding fathers. And so they go into all that, and at the end they give a call. But what Pastor Rick does is he comes up and he gives a call to salvation for pastors. You think he'd be preaching to the choir, right? You'd think there'd never be a hand that goes up after he brings the gospel. But in both meetings I was in, pastors raised their hands to be saved. That's both exciting and scary. Can you imagine being in a church under a pastor who did not know that he was born again? But you have to understand, there are so many different streams of faith within the Christian world. I mean, we're like Heinz 57, right? I mean, we're Baskin-Robbins 34, 31 flavors, right? I mean, we're just like that. And so what happens is there are a lot of There are a lot of denominations out there and churches that do not preach salvation by grace through faith. They don't preach that you have to repent of your sins and invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and take over. That to give him lordship, to give him kingship over your life and be born again. When Jesus said, you must be born again to Nicodemus. John chapter 3. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10. John 3 later on says, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord. And it says, someone quote John 3:16 for me. I'm tired. Wait, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for the cue. Should not perish. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. So you have to understand, we got to believe in him, call on. But it's interesting because many churches don't do that. Right here in our own community. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm sad about this. There are churches who never give an altar call for salvation. And there are pastors that are working a job, but they're not born again. Yeah. So I love Pastor Rick. Listen to this. The faith that upholds us, it defines us. But it also, listen to this, it inspires us. I love what Victor Mark said. I've shared this before, but it's important to understand, is that motivation is short-lived. It's adrenaline. I get motivated when I go to a football game, man. Or I go to a concert and I see a guy playing guitar and I go, it makes me want to play my guitar. Why? I'm motivated to do it. Or when I'm working out and I'm in there and some guy's grunting over on the other side of me and I'm like, well, I think I can lift a little more than that. I get motivated. And I get motivated to compete a little bit. Or I go try to beat myself from the last time. Whatever, we get motivated for a lot of different things, but motivation is adrenaline oriented and it's short-lived. It's temporary. But inspiration is spiritual. It's of the Spirit. And not only does it motivate, it generates movement and action that's lasting. I want to be inspired, don't you? Faith that defines us and inspires us, but it also holds us. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith. Someone say now. Do you know now is now? That's present tense, right? Am I getting my grammar right? You know, I are a college graduate. I'm just saying. So it's a present tense. Now faith is. It is a now kind of faith. But hope is interesting because it's future tense. So check this out. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope means it's a confident and joyful expectation of a desired good. That's what it is by definition out of the Greek, Koine Greek language. But it's that something that's off in the future. It's not that you don't see it. You actually see it. You see that something can happen. Something good is out there. You're just not quite there yet. So hope, you're hoping for something that's not yet seen. And that's what he's saying here, is that faith is the substance of what we hope for. Faith is now, and faith is substance. It's actually substantive. And look what it says, for things hoped for, the evidence, that word evidence simply means proof, the proof, the evidence of things not seen. So what do I have? I have faith. So I talked about this on Wednesday night because we happen to be in the faith block on, which is one of my favorites, in the Walking with Jesus discipleship journey. And so we were talking about that. And a lady came up to me and Annette after. We're just visiting, hanging out down here, just kind of enjoying the moment. And she says that she has a hearing issue. She's lost most of the hearing in one ear. It's real dull over here, real snappy over there, you know, when you snap. And I said, I've got faith for that. What do you mean by that? That means it's a now faith, and it's substantive. I believe, when I say substance, it means I actually believe God can heal her. But what some of you know, and I've talked about this before, is that I've got deafness. I have to figure out which one. I got deafness over here, so I could, probably from doing that too much through the years, too loud back in the day. But this is about gone. I mean, it's very dead. And I have a hearing aid, which I never wear it, so Annette gets tired of my favorite word. Huh? What'd you say? What? I mean, she's like, put that thing in. And it's, poor thing, it's sad. But I'm fighting it. But I'm also praying for healing. I've been praying for healing for a couple of years, off and on. Sometimes I'm very intense about it. Other times time lapses. But I'm praying. But what happened is I had two different people last week that had hearing issues, and I said, we should pray for them. I was with with Pastor Brian and Pastor Russ and a couple of our elders in there, and one of them's got some hearing loss, really struggling, and now he's having what's called sudden hearing loss, which means it just stops. I mean, it's not tinnitus, it's actually stopping. So I said, and Russ said, I think Pastor Jimmy should pray for him. Like, thanks, Russ, tossing me the ball. I mean, I'm the one fighting, contending for my own. But I love what you did there. And so we laid hands on him. We prayed for him. And he goes, I said, how's your hearing? You should test these things. Amen. How's your hearing? He said, it's better. Amen. We were all, he was shocked. It's better. I said, well, it should be better. We prayed for it, you know. I said, that's not good enough. We need to continue to fight, right? So that happened on Tuesday. Wednesday night, a lady comes up to us, and she's got hearing issues. So I'm going, hey, well, I had a pretty good day yesterday. In fact, so we just talked about faith. Now, let me say something. My hearing didn't get any better when I prayed for his. But that's okay. I've got faith for it. Maybe because I've been building my faith. I've been doing heavy lifting for myself. And so with her, I said, let's pray for your hearing. So I had the ladies around her lay hands on her. And then we prayed and asked the Lord to heal her. We didn't say if it's your will, because we trust that God would want our bodies to work like they were designed to work. I don't know why people have issues with that. So I just said, in the name of Jesus, we release healing virtue, healing grace into your life. God, we trust you. And then my moniker is, Lord, we pray like it depends on us, but we trust because it depends on you. And so I let it go. And I said, how's it going? She starts snapping fingers. We're all snapping fingers. She goes, I can hear you. And then Annette said something. She goes, I can hear you. I mean, because there's noise in there. She was shocked. Her eyes were big as saucers. Sent me an email this week. Her husband's blown away. She's blown away. They're driving down the road. She's got her hearing aids in after being at a movie theater where she says, I can never hear things clearly. She heard the whole movie. They're in the car. She can hear him over the road noise. And then she says she realizes she didn't snap her thing on her battery for her ear all the way. It wasn't even working. And so she just took them out and held them in her hands. And she said, I've never heard better in years. I don't even remember hearing this good. Yay, God, right? Yay, God. Faith is substance. We believed and we prayed and then we trusted, because that's what we do. It's not about us. It's about him. But we stepped into it by faith. Hebrews, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What does he reward us with? The answer to our prayers? No, I think he rewards us with himself. We get to know him. We get to enjoy him. We get to walk with him. Listen to this. The faith that holds us, and you'll see this on the screen, the faith that holds us sends us. Man, not only do we receive faith, but when we receive faith, we now become sent ones. That's apostolic. That's mission. That means we're now sent out into the world to share the good news, the gospel, with others. It's not the preacher's job. It's all our job. By the way, and if you're talking about the fivefold ministry, so Dr. Rick would be an evangelist, right? So, but I'm not an evangelist, but I do the work of an evangelist. So when I get around a real evangelist, guess what I want to do? I want to evangelize. It's the weirdest thing. That's why when we were in the Baptist church and we'd have our week-long scheduled fall and spring revivals, you know, we're going to have revival for 1 week and 1 week only, you know, it's over with after they leave. No. What would happen is every time a true evangelist would come and teach for that week, all of a sudden throughout the church for the next few weeks, we would see people born again. Why? Because the gift of evangelism was brought by an evangelist. Same way with me. I'm a pastor teacher. So you get around me, you want to love people. You know what I mean? You want to share the word of God. Why? Because I'm a pastor teacher. So when I got around Pastor Rick, it stirs up the gift of evangelism. I want to be sent. I want to go. I want to share my faith. Here's another thing. The faith that holds us empowers us to live for him. We are empowered. In other words, it's not just you. It's not just motivation. We're inspired and empowered to live. Here's another one. The faith that holds us moves us to change the world. My goodness, do not be satisfied and content with just being a wallflower in the kingdom of God. God isn't called wallflowers. He hasn't called you to stand up against the wall and watch everybody else do it. No, no. Get your hands dirty. The fun is on the field, not in the stands. I mean, the stands about this time of year, they get cold. Those metal seats are ice cold. Why would you want to be up there when you could be on the field getting dirty, playing the game? Don't you want to get in the game? Man, we get to do this. Say that out loud. We get to do this. Okay, everybody clap at the same time. It's awkward when only one claps. You're welcome, Debbie. I'm trying to help you out. Thank you. The faith that holds us. I got so spoiled preaching to an African-American church. I'm not going to lie, man. Our church back in the day, it was raucous. I had to calm them down. Go, okay, let me finish. The faith that holds us keeps us standing in every storm. And the storms, it's not an if a storm's going to come. I mean, I walked outside. The wind was 17 miles an hour. I thought, I'm back in West Texas. Actually, it's all relative. In West Texas, you'd walk out, it's 35 miles an hour. You're going, wow, it's a calm day today. This is great. Walk out here, 17 miles an hour. Oh, my gosh, put the flag up. Bring things in. Batten down the hatches. My grill cover might blow off. I don't know. It's all relative. But it's not a matter of when a storm's going to come. If a storm's going to come, it's when. Because it is going to come, family. But when our faith foundation is solid, we can stand in every storm. Amen? The faith that holds us leads us deeper into the heart of God. What does that mean? It means we get to know Him. I mentioned this a minute ago about knowing Him. It's not enough to know about Him. Talked a lot on Wednesday night about the head-heart connection. Oh, so many people know Him here, but they have not made the jump 18 inches to the heart. So when Annette and I came together and we started dating and then got married 7 weeks later, don't do as I do as I say. This is one of those. But here's what happened. I wanted her to know me. Even her mom was like, you don't even know this guy. I mean, her mama was not happy about this. And she said, yes, I do, because he gave me 7-8 years worth of his journals. So what I did after Annette and I got together, and it looked like we were about to fast track something. So I said, you want to get to know me? We don't have enough time in the day. Here are my journals. I gave her everything, and it was the good, the bad, and the ugly. I said, I'm taking a risk here. This is a test. This is a test. This is real. I mean, so I gave her the book, my books, and she came back after a week, and she said, told her mom, I know him. He gave me all of his journals. I know him. Why did she know me? Because she read about me. Listen, this is how we get to know God. We talk about a lot in church about knowing God, but we don't always say what to do. So I want to give you a what to do. First of all, you need to pray. As that sounds elementary, but listen to this. There's different kinds of prayers. There's prayers of declaration. I do this a lot, especially when I'm driving. I like to pray when I'm driving, where I will declare God's word back to Him. Father, you said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but every tongue that rises against me, you shall show to be in the wrong. Father, you said, according to your word, that I've been raised up together, seated in Christ. What is it? I'm declaring the word of God, the truth of God's word, so that I can hear it, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. As I hear it coming out of my own mouth, it builds me up on my most holy faith. It works every time. Even me just quoting those two scriptures, I'm like, I feel bigger already. I'm getting bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. So a prayer of declaration is also a prayer of appeal, where you come to and you appeal to God as a son to a father. Father, would you heal this ear? Would you, Lord, give them their hearing back? Lord, would you restore them? Father, would you bring the prodigals home? Father, before Christmas, before the holidays, would you bring the prodigals? That's a prayer of appeal. But there's another kind of prayer. It's the one we should be doing all the time, and it's the prayer of conversation. It's just conversation, where you're actually talking to God like He's real, like He's with you. Sometimes I'll use my sanctified imagination and imagine Him sitting in the passenger seat. I should be in the passenger. He should be driving. But, hey, I happen to be driving at the moment. So I have Him, and I talk out loud as though He's literally sitting there. Why? Because He is. And there it's very casual. It's very conversational. Father, Thank you so much for my wife. Thank you so much for my dog, my fur baby. Thank you so much, Lord, for this car that actually runs. Oh, I remember back in the day in college of having my 71 Ford Pinto, the one that blows up if you get rear-ended. Lord, thank you, I don't have that car. I mean, you're just talking to him. You're just making conversation. Lord, look at that deer. Oh, Lord, I'm sad for that one that got splattered. I mean, I feel bad for the car. You're just talking to him like you would be talking to a friend, like you'd talk to somebody else. Listen, he can handle what you have to bring to him. But what happens when you do that? You start to get to know him, and then you stay in this book. Because in this book, he reveals his nature. He reveals his character. He also reveals his will. You want to know him? Got to get in the book. There's no shortcut. Can't microwave this thing. Wish we could. Stick it on a microchip, put it in your frontal lobe. Maybe something will happen. But we don't have that technology yet. So that means you literally have to read it and get into it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Listen to this quote. We'll go to the next one. This is from Dr. Benjamin Rush. He was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence and great educator, one of the fathers of modern education. Listen to this. The gospel of Jesus Christ prescribes the wisest rules for just conduct in every situation of life. Yeah, exactly. Look what he says. My only hope of salvation is in the infinite, transcendent love of God manifested to the world by the death of his son upon the cross. Do you think that man was a believer? Do you think he knew God? Absolutely. Look what he's calling us to. One of our founding fathers. The second one is, in the video you heard it, the family that shapes us. And it is true, families do shape us. You know, my family, I've mentioned it's not a Christian family that I was raised in, but I was raised in a good family. My dad was good to us. My mom was amazing. My brother, well, you know, he's a brother, you know, so it's that stuff. But, I mean, we're typical, very, very typical Texas family. So thankful for my upbringing. And they shaped. They shaped and formed us. They shape us, they form us, they anchor us. I remember when I went through one of the hardest things in my life. I jumped in my Hyundai. Yes, I had a Hyundai back in the day. Right out of seminary, that's all I could afford. And I jumped in my car and I drove from Kansas City to my grandmother's apartment. And I said, Granny, I'm out of juice. I'm out of everything. I'm done. And she said, come on in. The family that shapes us, the family that forms us, the family that anchors us. I needed an anchor. I went home. I was devastated. I was disappointed. I was disillusioned. I'd lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of things. I was very, very hopeless at that point. My family hosted a barbecue for me that night because that's what my family does. If anybody's down in the family, you get everybody together and do a barbecue. And that's what we did. We're sitting in the back out on picnic tables in my uncle's house in Lubbock, Texas. I was down. I was dejected. And I was the preacher boy of the family. I was the one that was always up, living up in a down world, but I wasn't then. I remember my grandmother, my family was not Christian, so to pray for food was a big deal. They never did until I came around, and it was like, Jimmy Dale, would you pray for our food? And it was always very awkward. Well, this time she said, Jimmy Dale, would you bless our food, which they never did unless I was around. And I said, no, I'm mad at God right now. And I took a bite of a roll. You would have thought lightning was about to strike the table. My family was not Christian, but they had the fear of the Lord on them. I'm just saying. And that leaked out of me before I could even catch it because I was mad. I was disappointed. And my family anchored me in that moment. You know, they weren't Christian. They had the fear of the Lord. It was obvious. I mean, the barometric pressure of the backyard changed. It was like the oxygen got sucked out of the air. And I remember I almost chuckled because I didn't realize they were going to react that way, nor did I realize I was going to say that out loud. But I did. I just started eating. And then I just thought, wow, my family, they didn't judge me for that. They didn't think I'd lost my faith. I mean, they just like didn't know, but they were there for me. They anchored me. My family wasn't perfect, but they were good. I'm so grateful. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. Our image, God, you mean there was more up there? Yeah, there's a whole other thing there. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. In one translation, it calls them the creeping things. Verse 27, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. God started with family. That's why family is so critical. Listen to this from one of our founding fathers, John Adams, about the foundations found in our families that shape us, families that mold us, that help us, that anchor us. The foundations of national morality must be laid in private families. He's talking about the very foundation that all of this is built on must be laid in the family. In vain are schools, academics, or academies, and universities instituted if loose principles and licentious habits are impressed upon children in their earliest years. Does that ring true today? Man, I'm so thankful for our schools here. I'm thankful for what God's doing in our schools right here in Fredericksburg. We are truly blessed, truly blessed. I spoke last week at Comfort and their Fields of Faith event, and I was truly blessed to meet Christian teachers and coaches that were in love with Jesus and unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thankful. But he says this, the mothers are the earliest and most important instructors of youth. The foundation of national morality must be laid in private families. He's saying the family is the center of it all. It is the foundation stone that we build upon. And the National Monument, 81 feet of solid granite in Plymouth, Massachusetts, one of the greatest monuments, and the secret sauce recipe for our nation, for our, by the way, Constitutional Republic. The secret sauce for that is there. And one of the four foundations of this massive monument is called education. And it is a mother with a child in her lap. And she has the Ten Commandments right in granite right beside her there. And that is the founding fathers understood that this is how we built. And by the way, that's the recipe for getting back and recovering America. Amen. The family that shapes us strengthens us. The family that shapes us reminds us who we are. The family that shapes us keeps us grounded in love. The family that shapes us prepares us for God's purpose and teaches us to live life with faith and purpose. The next one, the freedom that calls us to live for more. We had a great foundation laid by Dr. Scarborough for why we are a Christian nation, why we are founded on freedom. Pastor Brian, 2 weeks before that, brought a great message on that as well. So listen to this out of Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Listen to this in John 8:32. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall what? Make you free. By the way, freedom is not a principle. Freedom is not just a maxim. Freedom is actually a person. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the, say it, truth, and the life. Truth is found in a person, not a principle. Jesus Christ is that person. And when we are in him, then we know the truth that makes us free. That's so important to me. Listen to the next verse. It's in that same context, John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be what? Free indeed. Anybody free indeed right here in this house? I'm telling you, if you ever forget, you should do what I did. I tattooed John 8:36 on my forearm. If ever I forget, I made it so that it's looking at me, not looking out at everybody else, because it's for me. I didn't get a tattoo for anybody else. I thought if I'm going to put ink in my body that I can look at, it's going to be a statement. And it's the statement. It says, free indeed, free indeed. In Christ, I am free indeed. Listen to this. The freedom that calls us to live for more is the freedom found only in Christ. Boy, we learned that last week with Dr. Scarborough. If you weren't here, you need to pick that up and watch it. Go back onto our Facebook page. You can go onto our YouTube channel. You can go onto our homepage, bridgefeg.com, and listen to that message. He literally laid this foundation that it is only found in Christ, a freedom that releases us from sin, redeems our past, empowers us to live with purpose, passion, and divine destiny. Listen to this from Benjamin Franklin. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men. Boy, we could park right there. Our freedom does not come because of a constitution. Constitution came because we are already free. It was a statement of the obvious that God is the one who gives freedom. Listen to this. Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. God of nature and nature's God. Declaration of Independence. We receive freedom as a gift and as a right that's from Him. By the way, the freedom that calls us to live for more isn't a license to do as we please, but a call to live as we were meant to. Freedom isn't just so you can do whatever you want. We're not talking about anarchy here. We're talking about aligning ourselves with a holy God and saying, thank you for the freedom so that I can live for you and for your glory. It's not about us. It's actually about Him and honoring Him. It's to live fully surrendered, spirit-led, and alive to God's purpose. The freedom that calls us to live for more awakens something deep within us, a holy hunger to rise above mediocrity and walk in the fullness of who God created us to be. Can you imagine a nation that really believed this? Can you imagine? I don't want to be like the song from Mercy Me, I can only imagine. I want to imagine. I want to see it in my lifetime, don't you? We see a semblance of it. But our government has gotten so large, so big, that it's hard to even find freedom in the context of it all. I sat in I made a visit yesterday to a prison unit, and I was there for about 3 hours, and I was feeling and sensing what these guys felt in there as I watched families trying to connect with their loved ones and trying to have a semblance of moment of freedom. It wasn't freedom. I saw and felt the atmosphere of a room where freedom had been sucked out. It's like the life has gone from that place. But at the end of the day, any of those men who know Jesus are free indeed. They may be incarcerated, but there's a place they can carve out within that context that they are free in Him, free in Jesus. Listen to this. We'll end with this. The fire that sends us. That's the fourth one. I added that. The fire that sends us to build our families, to improve or empower our legacy, and to reach the world. Listen to this out of Acts chapter 1, verse 5. This is Jesus speaking. Do you know how I know that? Because it's in red in my Bible. So that's just a giveaway right there. Pro tip. Acts 1, 5, Jesus said, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized." The word baptizomai in the Greek literally means to be immersed in, surrounded by, covered over, whelmed over, or overwhelmed by. That's what it means. So you're going to be immersed into the Holy Spirit. He said, not many days from now. What does that look like? It looks like this. When you're born again, Jesus comes to take up residence in you, right? The Spirit of God lives in you. So He's within you, but that doesn't mean He's upon you. He's in you to walk with you, the parakletos, but He also wants to empower you by covering you. It's like putting on the uniform. It's a police officer standing out in the middle of Times Square without his police uniform on. You know what he's going to be in 5 minutes? Roadkill. But if that same officer puts on his uniform, has his Glock on his side, has his baton there, his whistle, his badges, all there in pressed, clean, blue uniform, and he stands in the middle of that busy intersection in Times Square, he can stop traffic with a hand. Why? Because he's put it on. He's put the authority on him. He's wearing it. And we're to put on Christ. He says this, be baptized. Acts 1:8, we get the reason for it. But you shall receive power. Someone say power. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When He's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me, to Jesus, in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, all in concentric circles going out and to the end of the earth. I want to show you just a picture of the first great awakening. One of the great preachers, Jonathan Edwards, Witherspoon, George Whitfield, they would stand in these open fields, sometimes by churches, sometimes out in an open area, and they would preach the gospel to hundreds of people, and the Holy Spirit came. Why? They were clothed with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized, whelmed over by the Spirit. And look what it says. This is from revivalist Jonathan Edwards, not to be mistaken with the Jonathan Edwards sitting here. So listen to this. The great work of God's Spirit upon this land. Someone say this land. He's talking about upon this nation and these colonies is to awaken souls to eternal realities, that churches may be filled with the divine influence, and that civil life may be ordered under righteousness. He's talking about the nation, God showing up and imprinting a nation with his presence. Listen to this from George Whitefield, another revivalist in the First Great Awakening. God the Spirit is moving upon this land. Say this land. This land, this place we live, to awaken sinners, to bring them to Christ, and to mold a nation under the fear of God. Revivalist George Whitefield. I'll end with this, these statements. The fire that sends us ignites the world around us. You ever hear the expression, man, they are on fire. By the way, that's a good expression. That means there's something on them that's coming off of them. It's heat, it's fire, it's the presence of God. Often the Holy Spirit's likened to fire. We read in the second chapter of Acts, tongues of fire set upon them. It was just a representation of the Spirit and the anointing of God, the fire of God. The fire that sends us burns with a passion for his purpose. Burns with passion. The fire that sends us compels us to go where others won't. Others won't, but you will. Why? Because you're directed by the fire of God, the presence of God. The fire that sends us lights the way for those still in darkness. Until every soul is heard on this planet, our job isn't done. Our job description as a follower of Jesus is to go and make disciples of all nations. Have we done that yet? No, that means we still got work to do. Amen? And that work means intentional, focused effort. It's not just let the pastors do it, let the evangelists. We all do the work of the evangelist, all of us. It's all of our responsibility. The fire that sends us consumes us with love for his mission. Do you live on mission? Or do you not give him a thought until next Sunday or next Saturday? Oh, wait, we got church tomorrow. Oh, yeah, let's go to church. The fire that sends us reminds us we are carriers of his presence. Everywhere we go, we should be carrying an infection. People should need a hazmat suit around us for the gospel because we're so full of him that we're just literally leaking him out everywhere we go. His presence. The fire that sends us reminds us, the fire that sends us empowers us to make Jesus known. You are not on your own, family. If you will give in and release yourself to the Holy Spirit and welcome him in, he will order your steps. He will direct you. He's the Spirit of truth who leads us and directs us and guides us into all truth, John 15 says. So he will lead us into where we need to go. And he'll even let you know what to do, because when you know who you are, you will literally know what to do. You don't know ahead of time, but you'll know when you're there. Why? Because he's with you and he's helping you. The fire that sends us keeps us burning until the whole world hears. That should be our mission. I'm not going to be satisfied. I got word back that somebody was upset because our church is growing. I'm like, yeah? I thought that was the point. It's not about the numbers. It's about the people. It's about you. We're not trying to just be the biggest thing. We're trying to reach people, equip them, train them, and then release them into the places where they live, work, and play. Building bridges of life where you live, work, and play. Why? So the whole world will hear, starting with our Jerusalem, starting with Fredericksburg, starting with Harper, starting with Kerrville, starting with Stonewall, Johnson City, wherever you're from, Llano, Bernie, wherever you're from and you're here, that is your Jerusalem. And that's where we start, amen? Right where we are. So when somebody says our church is getting too big because I don't know everybody anymore, and I'm like, man, what a great problem to have. If I call you dude, brother, sister, or hey you, I mean, just, it's okay. The point is that we're reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our job description says we're supposed to do it for the whole world. Amen. Might as well start right here. Amen. So Do we need a bigger building? Yes. I've had so many people say, Pastor, you're going to need a bigger building. I'm like, you need to write bigger checks. I mean, that's just, it's pretty simple. It's all works together. Amen. So that's the reality of it. Can you bow your heads? On that note, bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm going to bring our worship team back up. We're going to go out with a song. Also, our prayer team is going to be up here at the front. If you have need of prayer for anything, we are here for you. We want to pray for you. Just like we got to pray for that precious one who got her ears back. We want to pray for you and just say, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. Father, come to you in a spirit of appeal. Would you save some people today? Thank you for the first service and what you did there. And even now, there are people who came here who are in this building, maybe somebody who will see this later online, and they need you. They've tried their best and it just hasn't quite made it, so they need help. So today, would you help them take a step over the line to say yes to Jesus? If you're here today and you've never given your life, your heart to Jesus, maybe you've been in church a long time, but you've never actually said, Lord, I'm going all in. I want to go all the way in with you. I'm going to push all my chips to the middle of the table and I'm going to go in with you. I want to be born again. I want to do exactly what Jesus said. I want to believe. I want to trust. I want to receive him. And I want all of these things we've talked about, faith, family, freedom, to be operative in my life, and the fire to be operative in my life. So if you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'm not going to even ask for a show of hands right now. I'm going to ask you to, right where you're sitting, to say yes to Jesus. And then a simple ask after that. If you're doing this today, you're saying, yes, Lord, I'll give my heart to you all the way. I'm all in. Then I want to ask a big favor. You can either take one of those Connect cards out of the back of the seat, fill it out, put it in any of the boxes around here, or drop it off in the Connect Center at the table there. Or you can take your phone, hit the QR code with your camera on. It'll take you to a Connect card that's online. And you can let us know the decision you made. We're not going to bombard you, but we'll reach out to you and just say, first of all, congratulations, and we're here to walk with you, whatever we can do to help you. And we'll help you find the way, begin to learn to grow in your new faith. So if you're here this morning and you're giving your heart to Jesus, let's keep it simple today. Just say yes. Yes. Yes, Jesus. I'm giving my heart to you right now. I'm going all in with you. I repent of my sin. I receive your gift of salvation. And I'm going to live the rest of my life for you and for your glory, your honor. Whatever that looks like, whatever that means, I don't know now, but I want to know. If that's you, then let us know you made that decision. Father, we thank you for what you're teaching us. And Lord, as we continue down the track, Father, you have so much for us. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts that we may know the truth that makes us free. In Jesus' name, God's people said, amen. Let's all